This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active, and I'm your host, Mike Dravenstadt. I'm here today with Andrew Jasinczyk, a sports performance coach from St. Luke's who manages the Run Strong program. It's a relatively new, structured, year-round strength training program geared specifically for runners. Today, we're going to learn more about strength training for endurance activities and see how those concepts come together into a specific program. So, Andrew, thanks for coming to WDIY today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's get a little bit about your background, both athletically and educationally.
Yeah, so athletically, growing up, I was a soccer player. So played soccer pretty much from youth up until my sophomore year of college. And then once I kind of transitioned out of soccer, I got into weightlifting and weight training. So it was kind of cool because I've always had the endurance background. But then from there, I got in, you know, I was kind of getting into the strength training aspect and really found a love for both while I was both training as a soccer athlete and just, you know, post-college. And then once I got out of college, I've been a personal trainer in the Lehigh Valley for the past 8 to 10 years. And then I've also worked as a sports performance coach. I was over at Muhlenberg College for about 3 years and then transitioned from Muhlenberg into St. Luke's. So I've been kind of all over the Lehigh Valley, which is cool.
Definitely. Yeah. I know some might think it's a little counterintuitive to hear strength training and endurance athlete and endurance activities in the same sentence. I think we see these elite marathoners who are just very slight in general, and you have this maybe counter perception of strength training. How do we reconcile that and put strength training together with endurance athletics?
Yeah, it's easy to think that they both are counterintuitive. When in reality, you know, at the end of the day, like, everything's about balance. So, and it's the same with whether we're training for a triathlon, we're swimming, we're biking, we're running, you know, we're walking, anything like that. You just want to make sure we find a good balance of both to help complement each other. So really, you know, the strength training component, it really goes a long way in just helping us stay structurally balanced, strong, and pain and injury free for the most part as best as we can compared to not doing it. So I always think of, like, you know, how would our bodies move and perform if we didn't have strength training? And, you know, if you kind of put an athlete who does not regularly strength train and you had them run a marathon versus an athlete who strength trains regularly and is running a marathon, I think you'd find a difference, at least in not only performance overall, but longevity, durability, you know, and just being healthier long term. So really, like, I think from a durability aspect, the strength training is probably the best for it.
Okay. And how does strength training for an endurance activity differ from strength training for more of a power sport for bodybuilding?
Yeah, so it really comes down to your repetitions and your style of training. So for an endurance athlete, we're basically getting a ton of endurance work in there, obviously, anyway.
Right.
So, you know, you would think, oh, as an endurance athlete, I need to do multiple reps of push-ups, squats, like higher rep exercises, lower weight, when really it's the opposite. So we should try and focus on heavier weights, pushing the weights, and go lower repetitions, right? So we're building up our general strength, and we're getting what we're not getting with all of the endurance work that we already have. So we already built this massive base. So that's why through our strength training, it should be, like I said, heavier weights, lower reps.
Okay. And let's maybe talk about some of the specific endurance sports and activities that can benefit from strength training and some of the outcomes that you might expect. So how about, like, with running, someone who adds strength training to what they're doing?
Yeah, so really, for running, I find running economy is a big aspect. So just being more efficient with your stride. The more power you're able to put into each stride, the more efficient you're going to be. So if you can train that in the weight room, that's really going to go a long way with just overall performance.
Okay.
And then also, too, like, obviously, an endurance sport, you know, mobility is going to be an aspect in there, too. So we might have, like, a little bit tighter hips and stuff like that. So if we are addressing that in the weight room, then that can also help open up our stride length as well. And then along with that, you know, one thing I like to add into my training programs is stuff for the upper back and the posture. Because I feel like, obviously, with everyday life, our posture is, our shoulders are constantly rounding forward, whether we like it or not. So really addressing that and being able to open up our posture and then hopefully kind of expand our ribcage a little bit so we can bring in more air helps us out as well. Great. So we're not kind of like constantly leaning forward while we're running or biking or swimming.
Okay. And I was going to ask, with biking and swimming, kind of really kind of the similar type benefits, the power.
Yep. Very similar power output. I mean, obviously, like with something like biking, it's more lower body focused. Swimming, mm-hmm. you'll get the upper body aspect too.
Right.
But yeah, both very similar.
How about things like hiking and mountaineering? There's still endurance. You're not maybe getting the higher level of cardio, but you really have some, extreme inclines or environments and even declines.
Yeah, exactly. And I think really, I would argue, like, because at the same time, you're getting a lot when you're, if you're hiking, say you're hiking up a mountain, you are getting a lot of the strength work just naturally. But really, when we walk down and the deceleration and all the pressure that can put on your quads, your knees. So that goes a long way. So being able to address that, I think, is probably a little more important compared to going up, when you're hiking. But they all go hand in hand.
Right, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the overarching science and physiology of strength training. Why does it work and how does the body respond to it?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's obviously a breakdown of muscle tissue, and it's going to help
when
our body rebuild.
When you're doing the yep. strength training, you're breaking
down. The strength training, yep. And it's just a form of rebuild, regeneration. I kind of look at it as you're just hitting the refresh button on your body, right? And it really, especially when it comes to, like, I always think of it, like, from a joint pain perspective. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, we tend to have knee issues, hip issues, shoulder issues. When we're adding in the strength training component, we're getting blood flow to that working area. And what that's going to do is it's just going to help regenerate, recover. Everything's going to move more efficiently because we're activating our muscles and we're not activating our, we're not putting pressure on our joints.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just from there helping our body move more efficiently and just feel better while we're moving efficiently instead of just constantly just breaking down our, putting the pressure on our joints.
Right. And then when we are doing the strength training, we're, again, causing breakdown in the muscle. And then it's
yep.
really, I always tell people that I do for cardio training, it's not the workout that makes you strong, it's the recovery.
Exactly.
Right? Because
yes.
you're breaking down your body and then your body's saying, I need to get stronger to do what you want to do. Is that really the general philosophy?
Yes, essentially. So you're breaking down the muscle tissue just to have it regrow and get stronger over time. And just like running, biking, swimming, it all takes consistency. So as long as you are, a lot of times people tend to think like, oh, I need to strength train, 3 days a week for an hour. It's like in reality, if you add in 2 days a week for a half hour at the beginning, like you'll probably be okay and you'll feel better, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to complement what you're doing outside of the gym.
And then how long does it take for your body to kind of reach a new equilibrium or kind of a peak? And then what do you do to move beyond that?
Yeah, so it really depends on your training level. Typically, if you're a beginner, you can see significant progress in the first couple of weeks. If you're someone who is very consistent with training, it takes a little bit longer to kind of break through those plateaus. Typically, a good way to kind of break through them from a strength perspective is just changing up variety. You can change up a certain variation of an exercise. Just like an example, if you were doing like a goblet squat and you were working up to a heavy set and then you're like, hey, listen, like my strength is kind of stuck where it's at, you could progress into maybe like a front squat or put the bar on your back to a back squat. Just an example, but there are a ton of different options and avenues. It's really just a matter of like constantly being aware of your body, your progress, making sure you're tracking your progress, and then from there, adding in the variations necessary.
Okay. And when we're talking strength training too, we don't necessarily mean we're talking about free weights or, you know, things with a bar or dumbbells. It could be other forms of resistance, yes?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, really, body weight training can go a long way in the beginning. I know I use COVID-19 as a good example. We had no choice. We had to use our body weight. And you can do things like add in a tempo, like going a slow lower on a single leg lunge. You can add in pause reps. You can go, you can add in plyometrics. You know, all that stuff is good and very important and can go a long way with just maintaining our strength and stability.
But also probably using bands as well.
Bands are important bands, as right? well. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, definitely. And the bands are nice because they're not going to provide as much impact on the joints as well. So. Right. So yeah, definitely important.
And probably some exercises that you can do with the bands that really aren't conducive to free weights.
Yeah, and they're nice. They're usually a little less expensive, obviously, compared to most equipment. And, you know, you buy a band for home, you can do your own workout in the luxury of your living room, your basement, your garage, which right. is convenient.
I know personally, I call that Planet Dravenstadt.
Yes, there we go.
Down in the basement.
That's awesome.
What kind of balance do you generally look for endurance athletes between the strength training and the cardiovascular training?
Yeah, it really depends on, obviously, like if we're training for a race, right? So typically for best case scenario, you're in your off season. You don't really have a race planned. Using an example for a runner, I would typically go, and this is how I personally like to train, 3 days a week of lifting and 3 days a week of running. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at the week, I'm looking to balance your intensities and your volume. So typically, we would go kind of like higher intensity work on a Monday. We might do like a lower body session. It might mm-hmm. be a little more higher intensity. The next day, we might do an easy run, right? So we're kind of blending. Wednesday, we'd probably do some upper body work, which you could still kind of argue would be easier work, kind of recovery leading up
to your runners, not your legs.
Exactly. Yeah. And speed work would maybe go on Thursday. So you're kind of separating the lower body session and the speed work. So you're not sore heading into that. Mm-hmm. Friday, we might hit like a higher volume, maybe like a little bit higher volume upper body. You might hit lower body like stability stuff. And then Saturday, you would hit a long run.
Right.
So you're kind of blending out the volume. Now, obviously, there's a million ways to kind of go through it, but really thinking like a high-low approach, you know, one day keeping your high-intensity work on one day, and then the next day going lower intensity, higher intensity, lower intensity, and just blending it out throughout the week.
Yeah, and I think I want to reinforce something you said earlier, too. I mean, we're talking about performance and more power and strength, but just the importance of this for injury prevention and joint health as well, to help stabilize everything. And you see that in terms of the benefit being longevity.
Yes.
And consistency.
Yep. Longevity and durability. And, you know, it's consistency is probably the number one thing that people struggle with when it comes to just sticking to a program. Strength training in itself, people tend to, they may kind of get bored of it, or maybe they're doing the same routine over and over again. They just are in need of something that, you know, maybe they found online and it's not super structured and it doesn't really fit their lifestyle. So it's something that, you know, it might not always be fun. It's not always going to be fun. But if we can find ways to just check it off the list, especially for endurance athletes, like they want to be out there on the roads. They want to be in the pool. They want to be doing the extra stuff. So leave the strength training. Like, let's just commit, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes, 1 to 2 days a week and try and go from there.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about strength training for runners and the Run Strong program. I'm here with Andrew Yasinchik, and we'll be right back.
WDIY News engages the local community through accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources with volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. and 4 to 6 p.m. and weekends from 8 to 10 a.m. WDIY News, available live on 88.1 FM and online at WDIY.org.
And welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network. And we are here with Andrew Yasinchik, who is with St. Luke's sports performance coach, and we are talking today about strength training for endurance activities and the Run Strong program over at St. Luke's. We're going to talk more specifically about running right now, which is, you know, an activity I like to partake in, and you as well, right?
Yep.
You
definitely
ran a marathon last year.
So 2 years ago, okay. I ran the Jim Thorpe Marathon, and then I've run four half marathons.
Nice.
So,
and you are signed up for the St. Luke's half this April.
Yep, I will be there.
Very good. I'll see you there.
All right, ready to toe the line.
Let's I think get a little bit more specific about running and what the strength training looks like when we're looking at the physiology of running. I'm thinking primarily about stride length and turnover would be, I know when I did some of my coaching, those are like the two main things that you have.
Yep.
In order to become faster. In terms of that, what kind of lower body muscles are you looking to develop?
Biggest thing I would say, and this generally tends to go with most athletes, most humans in general, but just the posterior chain. So really the glutes, the hamstrings, the calves, right? We tend to generally be quad dominant. Everything's in front of us. Especially in my classes, I like to make sure we're addressing the glutes, the hamstrings. We're activating those areas because if we can activate the glutes, we feel more efficient while we're running and our form and our stride length is more efficient. And obviously quads are there as well. Quadriceps are important. And the little tiny like stabilizer muscles in the feet. So just making sure like we're addressing the feet and ankle complex, but also just making sure that we're moving efficiently in a proper way. And that's not like the main focus is not just calf raises all day. Like we're still working on, like I said, hamstring strength, glute strength, quads, stuff like that.
Right. That's right. Tell my runners on Wednesday morning with their glutes, it's the biggest muscle in your body. Let's put that thing to work.
Exactly. Yes. Because most of the time it's dormant and right. It's not active.
Right.
So
we also say for some of you, it's a little bit bigger than others.
That's fine. Hey, right. You know, we take what we get.
And how about the core, which again, you're thinking a strength training for runners, it's all about the legs, but we're going to talk about core and then upper body.
Yeah. Core is massively important. So really like when I think of core training specifically for runners, I try to activate, you know, try to incorporate the lower half with our abdominal area. So thinking like things that are going to work our hip flexors, things that are going to work our psoas, our lower abdomen area, I guess you could say, but involve the legs. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like getting to the point where while we're performing the core exercise, our legs are involved. So we're kind of, it's kind of mimics the running movement, if that kind of makes sense. It might be a little bit harder to explain. And then from there, also, I like to add in anti-rotational type core exercises and really just a lot of functional core stuff. A lot of times, you know, the main function for the core training should be like strength and stability. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not doing 150 sit-ups a night. Like, that's not really going to do anything. At the end of the day, we are endurance athletes and we're runners, so we're going to run far distances. So if our core is weak and we start to, kind of like I was mentioning with the posture right, dips, right. We're going to be less efficient while running. Mm-hmm. But if we can have a strong, stable core while we're running long distances, we're going to be more efficient throughout the race. And that's just only going to help us.
Well, I would say just as an example, if you're out even just as an everyday athlete and you're kind of jogging on the track, try doing that if you're bent over 20 degrees.
Exactly. Yeah. Your lower back starts to hurt, which like for me, when I first started running, I used to deal with lower back issues. Like my lower back would get tight and stiff. Now, not so much anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, I think I could really attribute that to the strength training.
Well, I think also that, you know, 1 or 2 degrees of posture can make a big difference if you're running 13 or 26 miles.
Absolutely. Yes. And naturally, we're going to fatigue. You know, we're not elite athletes. So, but the severity of that dip and drop can make a difference, right? If we're running a marathon, you know, by the time we get to mile 20, we're probably going to be hitting that wall. It's inevitable. But the ones who are able to stay more efficient, they're not, you know, if you're leaning all the way forward and you can barely get air in and then your back's starting to tighten up, like, that'll just ruin your race day. So I think really just having a strong, stable core can go make a big difference.
And then for runners, how about the upper body? You know, arms, shoulders, neck, things like that.
Yeah, doesn't have to be crazy. I mean, a lot of times I think it's like making sure you almost hit the bare minimum. you know, we're going to, similar to the lower body, we're going to hit the posterior chain. So a lot of upper back work, rotator cuff, a lot of stuff for the lats, for the back. We'll do some pushing stuff here and there. Really, for me, it's like getting the bare minimum, doing your push-ups, your, you know, you can do your shoulder presses, stuff like that. Really just making sure the upper back is strong, I think, is important. And making sure we're also not overdoing the upper body work so that, you know, our biceps are feeling tighter or our shoulders are feeling tighter while we're running.
Right.
So it is making sure we're not doing too much so that we're tightening everything. So kind of getting the bare minimum and then adding in the mobility work for that.
I think you alluded to this a little bit earlier, Andrew, about the possibility of training your diaphragm and maybe not your lungs particularly, but to really make that breathing process more efficient. What can be done in that aspect? Because I think you think about strength, like, well, how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to core training, I mean, really, an example would be like a dead bug or something like that. Like you're laying on your back, you're extending your arms and legs at the same time. I like to do essentially like if you're maybe a little more advanced, like a hanging leg raise where you're mm-hmm. hanging and then you're bringing your knees up and extending down. So you're getting the core work, you're utilizing the hip flexors, kind of like the whole bottom half of your body. I think that, and then along with the postural stuff. So doing things for the upper back, including like face pulls, band pull aparts. I do a lot of like rotator cuff work as well, like external rotations, things that you would probably see in physical therapy. But I'm always kind of been at the mindset, like, let's do them before we have to get to physical therapy, if possible, just because we don't want those areas to, obviously, there's nothing worse than having a bad shoulder issue or anything like that. So,
right. Or anything that will affect your running gait or take away from your posture that would affect over that length of time
exactly.
being out there.
Yeah. Yep.
How about with cardiovascular training? I know we often look at cycles, like there's a base phase and a strengthening phase and a sharpening phase. Is it very similar with strength training?
It would be very similar. Yep. If you're planning for a race or anything like that, typically like a strength training program would start with like, say if you're going in blocks, you know, the first block would be more of like a higher volume, lower weight-ish set, you know, and when I say higher reps, it could be anywhere from 6 to 8 reps, which from a strength component would be higher rep. And then from there, you would kind of slowly start advancing into like the 3 to 5 rep range. And then you might, you know, depending on our age and our skill level, we might go, you know, maybe a 1 to 3 rep heavier weights. As you get closer to peaking for a race or anything like that, you know, you would see the reps between like 2 and 5, I would say. And okay. You kind of keep it there and you're at a good volume to where the weight is heavy enough to where we're not overdoing it while we're heading into our runs.
Got it. So with strength training, we're talking about having the muscles adapt after they're being broken down. But one of the things we want to make sure we maintain is flexibility and muscle pliability. So mm-hmm. how do you work that in and kind of create some balance there too?
Yeah. So the cool thing with strength training is obviously it is kind of like a sneaky way to add in mobility, especially like with my athletes that I work with. A lot of times, you know, we're pressed on time and most people are pressed on time. So they might not always like doing, you know, stretching all the time, which I totally get. I'm the same way. So it's like, how can we incorporate mobility, kind of get the best of both worlds? So there are specific exercises where you're strengthening and lengthening at the same time. Like you could do, say, like a rear foot elevated or a front foot elevated split squat to where your front foot is elevated on a plate and then you drop down. So because your foot is elevated on the plate, you're able to get more range of motion through your back leg. So that helps open up the hip, get a little of the psoas and the hip flexors. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. You're getting some mobility and you're strengthening at the same time. So really trying to incorporate those exercises in, and then also in your dynamic warm-up, doing a lot of like I like to do a lot of like hip 90-90 mobility work. Things, you know, if you're doing a squat, we can try and squat down to a lower box and, you know, you can kind of change how wide your feet are and different things like that to where you're getting a little bit deeper into a stretch and you're getting the mobility and then you're getting the strength portion of it too.
Okay, great. How does the need for strength training for endurance activities change with age? For example, someone in their 20s versus someone in their 50s like me?
Yeah, it's interesting. And it really depends on what kind of experience and skill level we're at. I think as we get older, it's more of just longevity and durability. And really just getting to the point where the strength training is allowing us to do what we love to do longer. I think that's the most important. When we're younger, we kind of get off a little easy. Like, we can get away with running 6 days a week, doing strength training 3 days a week, all this volume. But as we get older, that starts to, you know, our body starts to break down. So I think really it's like, as we get older, the durability and longevity is the most important.
Got it. Let's talk specifically about the Run Strong program, which is relatively new. What options are there for either individual programs or group programs or even ones leading to specific races?
Yeah, so the Run Strong program, we have the main program is a small group personal training program. So we have 1 day a week and 2 day a week options, and it's just a monthly rate. So worst case, you know, if we have you're not able to make it during that week, you know, you can move your session into the next week. But we typically average about 4 to 6 people per class, and it's a small group setting. So I would say it's really geared for those who are like, you could be a serious runner, you could be a casual runner. Mm-hmm. Maybe you enjoy the run clubs and you like the social aspect. Like, we're really, the important thing is the social aspect. And it's structured and customized. So, you know, I make sure when you sign up, you're going to get, you know, you're going to fill out a questionnaire and I'm going to know all your injury history. So if I prescribe an exercise and you're like, hey, Andrew, this isn't working for me, I will personally change that, obviously. And I'm there giving you the progressions, telling you what to do each week.
Checking your form, probably.
Checking the form. Yeah. And then we'll do, you know, we did a little strength testing in December, which was cool. And then we're able to find like a rough estimate of where our max is on maybe like a trap bar deadlift or maybe like a box jump or something like that. So that's the main Run Strong program. And then we also have a Run Strong Plus option, which is for 1 to 3 days a week. And that's geared more for semi-private or individual training. So think of it like your personal training style. So one-on-one. And those are more for, you know, maybe you don't like to work in the group setting as much, or you're very specific. Like, maybe you're, you know, you want to train for a particular race or anything like that. So we have the two options. And it's, you know, really it's 1 2-day a week options. Like, it's not like a huge commitment, which is nice. And I think people like that starting off. So
certainly. And other than hearing about this on the show right here, people find information about the program on the St. Luke's website, probably by searching Run Strong.
They can search for Run Strong. We do have a Shopify link as well. But yeah.
But Run Strong, all being one word, right?
Run Strong. Yep. And the RUN is capitalized.
Very good. Well, Andrew, thanks for joining us here at WDY and talking about strength training for endurance activities. Really a lot of good information.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks again to our friends at St. Luke's University Health Network, who encourage us to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is Actively High Valley.